Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is off today. WBUR and NPR are announcing a major collaboration today. Starting this summer, the two organizations will be co-producing Here and Now with Robin Young and expanding the midday news magazine from 1 to 2 hours a day. As part of the expansion, NPR also announced that in July, it will no longer produce the call-in show Talk of the Nation with Neil Conan. Well, Charlie Kravitz, WBUR's general manager, joins us now to discuss the change. Hi there, Charlie.
Hi, Meghna.
So WBUR listeners are obviously very familiar with Robin and Here and Now. What does the move and the expansion mean for the program?
Well, I think this is a wonderful moment for Here and Now. They are a terrific staff of people doing a wonderful radio program on a daily basis. And Robin Young is such a strong and articulate and empathetic host. So I think we're going to get more of that. We're going to have an enriched relationship with National Public Radio. We're going to have their talent, their reporters, their editors, their bloggers on our air on a regular basis.
And how will the format change? We're getting a new co-host for Here and Now.
That's right. Jeremy Hobson, who's presently the co-host of Marketplace Morning Report. He's a really, really impressive young journalist who is doing wonderful work now out of New York City. He's going to move to Boston. He's going to be a great new voice.
For full disclosure, I'm playing a small role in this as well. I've been asked to be the chief fill-in host for either Robin or Jeremy for the new expanded Here and Now, and it is a position I have accepted. I will remain on Radio Boston,
yes.
My first love.
You'll do a wonderful job on Here and Now as well as on Radio Boston.
Well, thank you, Charlie. But the journalist in me has to ask you a couple tough questions because this is a major change, even more so for NPR. Can you walk us through the decision behind canceling Talk of the Nation?
Well, you know, I kind of promised myself when we got emails and phone calls and other things that I would not speak for NPR. This is their decision to cancel Talk of the Nation. It's been on the air for more than 20 years. They're not canceling it because it's not doing well. But I know that NPR and WBUR believe that a strong and even increased presence for a news program rather than a talk and call-in program in the middle of the day is something that they believe in, we believe in, and there's been calls for that across public radio from program directors and general managers, and that is one of the main reasons why they have embraced working with WBUR on this.
Now, NPR itself, in its newscast, is reporting that the decision was both programmatic, journalistic, and financial in that they are running a $7 million deficit at NPR. Was this move a financial one?
Well, they've said all along that they're not hiding the fact that they have a structural deficit of $7 million and they have to watch where they spend their money. I think this was, though, more of a strategic decision. I don't know that they're actually saving a lot of money by doing this.
And, Charlie, what impact will this have on WBUR listeners? Because we just came through a squeaker of a fundraiser.
Yeah.
I mean, our listeners did support the station wholeheartedly, as they usually do. But will we be turning to them for more money to support the expanded programming from Here and Now?
No. The answer is simply, I mean, WBUR has the most devoted and generous supporters in all of public radio. WBUR is healthy and in great financial shape. We don't expect that this will put any undue strain on the finances of WBUR.
Charlie Kravitz is the general manager of WBUR. Charlie, thanks so much for your time.
It's my pleasure, Meghna.
And listeners, there's a lot more information about this change, about the expansion of Here and Now, at our website, radioboston.org.
Hear you tell me these things in my ear, and it's so wonderful, darling. There's nothing quite like a tape, is there?
You're listening to An Affair.
A shower and I'll pretty it up for you.
An act of infidelity and an impassioned romance. Love in secret that nourishes as it harms.
I have to be very, very discreet about it.
Two lovers, Tom and Jeannie, made these tapes in the 1960s. They recorded their thoughts and their trysts for each other.
I'll register in the hotel under the name of Dr. and Mrs.
Those tapes were eventually locked away in a suitcase, and that suitcase made its way onto eBay.
I can't tell you what the outcome is actually going to be.
The listing was titled The Suitcase of Love and Shame.
I feel terribly about this. I really do.
Artist Jane Galluli bought the suitcase. She opened it and listened to hours of Tom and Jeannie talking to each other in a way that they thought no one else ever, ever would hear. Galluli has turned that tape into a new film also called The Suitcase of Love and Shame. It's screening at the ICA on Saturday. And I spoke to Jane Galluli a little earlier this week. I wonder if you can describe to us who are Tom and Jeannie.
They are a couple whose lives crossed. They work in the same profession, so they met each other through work over the years that the relationship took place.
It'll be 2 months, darling, to the day. 2 whole months that we haven't been in each other's arms or whispered in each other's ear.
This is in the 1960s, and I think what really captured me as I was listening to or watching. I keep saying listening, right? Because that's what we're doing. We're listening in on the evolution of their affair. But what's so remarkable to me is that they are talking to each other through these tapes. And it's a very different thing than writing a letter.
Oh, darling, things are no different. There's sure no change whatsoever.
The purpose for them, partially, was that they spent so much time separated that they were trying to create these private moments for one another so that each other had recordings of their lover that they could listen to and feel as if their lover was in the room with them.
I'm just about ready to finish up with the Miss America pageant, so I thought I'd get just a little bit of it on our tape.
Jeannie, in particular, speaks about it as their memory library.
Right.
It was very intentional what they were doing.
Meet me in St. Louis.
I wonder what it was like for you when you began listening to all these tapes, because it's tapes over a period of several years. What were you thinking? What were your first emotions like upon the first time you heard Tom and Jeannie essentially speaking to each other?
You know, sometimes I was just astounded at how present it felt. And I would suddenly, be thinking, I frequently would be doing a rough transcript when I was transferring a tape. And I was aware, wow, this was over 50 years ago.
Oh, my precious, my very precious love, you are my world.
There were times when, believe me, I am as uncomfortable as I make the audience feel. And I was when I was listening to the tapes. There were times I literally had to get up and step back from the deck because...
Well, what times... I mean, I know the portions that made me feel uncomfortable, but what are you thinking of?
Well, those were probably the same areas.
I mean, they recorded themselves making love.
She would frequently arrive at a location ahead of him, and so she might be making a tape and preparing for his arrival. It was surprising to me too. I wasn't expecting
right.
That wasn't in the description of the tapes.
Well, the reason why, other than just the sheer sort of carnal nature of some of those moments, what I found actually kind of moving and possibly most disturbing about those moments is that, you know, it's one thing to hear them when they're apart being, you know, coy or loving to each other or, you know, just expressing the desire that they have and the longing. That's it's one thing. But then it's another thing entirely to be present with them when they are together, because it just reminds us that this is an affair. While they clearly love each other, it's an act of infidelity. But were you ever uncomfortable with the idea of exposing those deepest personal details about their affair?
Not at all. I can honestly say that. And I was aware that I've never heard of a collection like this. And there was something that just felt so historically significant about it. We think we know how people were experiencing these things in the 60s, but it also contradicts a lot of what we think about the sexual revolution. And, you know, we associate that with, young college students. And Tom and Jeannie, it's right on the cusp of the sexual revolution. You know, they're a generation older, more or less.
In fact, I mean, we've been talking about what we hear in the film, but it is a film, right? So there's a lot of visual imagery in it as well, but you never show their faces.
No.
So, I'm so desperate to know what they looked like, though. Why didn't you, not even a hint? Why?
The reason is because I wanted you to have your own idea of... I wanted Tom to be the person you wanted Tom to be and Jeannie to be the person they wanted Jeannie to be. So I wanted everyone to have their own sort of vision of who they were.
I have a feeling now that there's some information seeping to her somehow or other. She can't be that right all the time, but Kansas City, I got a little tight. I got pretty tight. Lucille slapped my face in front of a group there.
There's so much media now. I mean, we're living constantly with texting, pictures. Everyone can take a movie of whatever they want on their own camera. So on the one hand, you know, who knows? There are probably millions of Toms and Jeannies out there right now documenting affairs like this, you know, on their phones, for example. But do you think that because there's this surfeit of media around us that maybe it'll be rare for... you know, future artists like you to find something that so beautifully captures the intimacy of an affair like Tom and Jeannie's tapes do?
Well, I think it might be rare to find something that is as real as this is, as raw as it is, and partially because Tom and Jeannie weren't imitating anyone. They didn't necessarily have examples of other people in their world who were doing similar things. And people who are texting and taking photos and posting things now have billions of examples. So they're kind of being themselves, but they're sort of imitating something one of their friends did or something they saw on a porn site or something like that. And that's what I think is so unique about their tapes is it's unmediated and it feels so incredibly real.
I'm praying and praying that nothing's happened to keep you from coming, my dear one. There's the phone now, darling. Just a moment.
It's startling. It's like, oh my gosh.
One thing you'll always know, Jane, that I loved you with all my heart and soul.
Well, Jane Galluli is the creator of the new film Suitcase of Love and Shame. It will be screening at the ICA on Saturday. Jane, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about your new film.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
When you're far away.
Radio Boston is produced by Jessica Alpert, Amory Sievertson, Dina Rosendorf, and Alex Kingsbury. Our interns are Darian Gray and Ava Aguado. Tim Skog is our technical director. The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.
Call me at 6 on the dot. Another day. When you're far away.